What can help you take advantage of today's low mortgage rates and save money? Rocket can. You could save hundreds of dollars every month by refinancing with Rocket Mortgage at today's near historic low rates. If your current rate is over 4%, you could lower your payment by over $150 a month, saving thousands in interest every year. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Savings are based on quick and loans, internal data. Points and fees may apply. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states and MLSconsumeraccess.org.
This show is paid for and produced by the Hacienda Group at Long Realty Company. The views expressed are not those of KVOI or its sponsors.
Welcome to This Open House, where we talk about all things real estate related with your hosts, David and Rebecca Guthrie of the Hacienda Group at Long Realty Company.
Welcome, welcome, welcome yet again. Excuse me. Another episode of This Open House. I am your host, David Guthrie, Hacienda Group Long Realty Company, with my beautiful, lovely, brilliant wife.
I'm Rebecca Guthrie.
Rebecca Guthrie. All right. I guess another week down in 2021.
You know, it's hard to believe.
Feels like another decade worth of news.
Yes. A lot of things happened this week.
There is just... And then we turn around. We're like, how did it become... The 9th.
I don't know.
January
9th. We're already a third of the way through January. I have no idea.
One, what is going on here? So, you know, I think it's just going to keep moving faster. My grandparents told me when I was little, I thought it takes so long to get to my birthday. I just, you know, when's my birthday? Well, it was just a week ago, right? Right? And I mean, now it's like, poof.
Yep.
All gone.
It's when you have kids, it goes faster too because they get big so fast.
Is that the problem?
I don't know.
It might be the problem.
I don't know.
Maybe lack of sleep.
Maybe
too,
lack
with
of
kids.
Sleep.
Or lack of sleep because all of the wonderful clients that God's blessing us. It's just an amazing time right now. We are having, it's just one after another, which leads us to a couple things that I want to just talk to our audience about today, which
sounds
is
like plan.
Let's talk about 2020, kind of sum it up. So as opposed to
our usual market review that we do at the first beginning of the show, where we, you know, talk about what's happened in the last week, we're going to talk about what happened in 2020.
Yes, what happened in 2020, and then, you know,
in
some
real
strategies.
Estate, we're just talking about what happened in 2020 in real estate. We're not touching anything else.
Yeah, we're not touching anything else. We don't want to get banned. We don't want our Twitter account shut down. So let's put it that way. We want to be as polite as we can be. So let's talk about 2020 housing markets. It was pretty turbulent, unexpectedly so. You know, we had this pandemic hit early on.
I think that people forget that when we went into 2020 in January and February, that there was... there was a lot of excitement, a lot of enthusiasm. It was a new decade. It was 2020, you know. And I think that people forget that the housing market was doing really, 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 really well in January and February.
It was doing
fantastic. It was on track to be a record year. And then March happened.
And March happened. And all of a sudden, you know, you couldn't go out dancing anymore,
right.
Which
well,
the Baptist rejoiced about because, you know, dancing leads to, you know what?
Babies. Dancing leads to babies.
It always does.
It always does.
But, you know, you can't go out and dance. You can't do any of these things. And so when you can't do those things, it's a little bit concerning, a little bit scary.
So people were starting to shelter in March. And then in April, that was when the shutdown, the stay-at-home order, whatever you want to call it, and people were really, I mean, April lasted for 50,000 years. It was
it
the longest month ever. Oh, my goodness. But, you know, Governor Ducey declared real estate to be essential.
Real estate, agents, title
the whole
companies.
Thing, real estate. Real
yes.
estate was essential. So for us, we went into March and April and May with deals already under contract, and all of our lots of deals fell through, but none of ours did.
Not a single transaction that we represented fell through due to concerns of, you know, what's going to happen, future stuff, and you know, some of you may actually be sitting here thinking, well, why real estate? Why is this industry essential and mine's not? You know, I serve people food, and I had to go home and you help people buy and sell houses. Well, if you think about it, people are, well, I kind of have an idea. You know, I think that, you know, when you have, you know, for instance, military didn't stop bringing people
in.
That's
true. That is true.
There's constantly people relocating and moving around. And as doctors and nurses and all of these people need to mobilize and move, housing is one of those basic things.
We just happen to think that all jobs are essential. If it feeds your family, it's essential. But that's just us.
If it feeds your family, you are essential, and we agree with that. But, you know, we have seen just this almost immediate turnaround back in early 2020 of confidence. And a big part of that was, I think, a lot of sellers early on in a year were pulling back. They were saying, well, I don't want people coming into my house. How is this going to look? We were trying to pivot. We were trying to figure out, can we do this virtually?
Right.
What can we change? What can we move? Which, by the way, guys, a lot of this stuff, we're able to move. And as people start to feel more confident and things start to get back to hopefully what we would consider normal with how people interact with each other in this world, some of these things I would like to see continue, like the use of Zoom meetings. There's a lot of things that we can go ahead and just, you know, get done a lot easier. So, you know, this activity really did spark up, but the inventory really, really shot down. And so, you know, the pending sales increased 7.3%. We finished 2020, put this number in your mind. This is the entire MLS Southern Arizona, which encompasses pretty much all of Southern Arizona. We have 7.3% finishing at 20,622. Closed sales up 3.5% to end the year at 19,766. So some of those pendings, you know, moved into January there. Listings, compared 2020 to 2019, number of homes available was lower by a staggering 52.4%. This is a huge number, okay? The demand increased, but listings were down. There were a total of 1,551 active listings at the end of 2020 in the entire MLS. New listings decreased by 2.9% to finish the year at 22,677. So, you know, there's still overall, when you calculate everything, there was still a couple of thousand more listings than sales. But you've got to understand, not all of these homes are priced where they should be, they're good quality. There could be a lot of factors with these things. But in prior years, that number was much higher. What's another interesting statistic is bedroom counts. The increases in sales prices based on bedroom counts over last year. And these are all sizes of homes, okay? Not every one bedroom is, you know, a 700 square foot little tiny closet. Properties with one bedroom or fewer saw the largest growth, 19.6% increase in value over, and the original list price received at sale went to properties with three bedrooms at 99.3%. So, you know, really what we're seeing is increases in sales price. We're still seeing historic mortgage lows, and I do think that that's going to continue on into at least the near future here. We do not know, obviously, what's going to happen. Mortgage interest rates, you know, tied to the bond market. We're not going to get too detailed into this right now, but they are tied into that. And when you have one political party in power, bonds don't care, red, blue, they don't care. But there is, investors do get nervous when one party has the control just to be able to spend as much as they want. And so that is a concern for some investors that we are seeing. So we've been saying since last year, we're going to be going into a period of inflation between 2020 through 2030. We're going to see a period of increased sales prices, maybe not this dramatic, but that is going to continue. We're going to see increased rental rates go up and continue. And the new home market is booming. But what's interesting about this particular boom is many of these new homes are being built not for homeowners, but for home renters because the supply is so low.
Yep.
We are trying to go ahead and create some of that. So, you know, investors usually would make up about 1% of the market. In some cases, investors are making over 5%, sometimes up to 10%. And these aren't speculators that are going ahead and getting a contract, letting it be built, and then reflipping it prior to it closing for a profit like we were seeing in the last cycle. No, these are true investors buying homes, getting them up, and bringing people in. And if you think about it, as a renter, if you look at the car market versus the real estate market, if you were stuck being able to only lease old cars, that would really suck for you as a renter. So we do have a need for this in the rental market, for brand new homes, for renters to be able to go ahead and lease and bring those in. Before we go on break, let's talk about list prices received. So what it is listed at versus what it's selling for. 99% improvement of 0.7%. So what that means is sellers are getting what they're asking for. The appraisers are being cautious to this, keeping in mind we're looking back in time. And in some of the lower priced homes, under 200K now, which used to be a big chunk of our market, that is getting tougher and tougher. So...
yeah, there's a lot of information. If you guys are interested in getting this report, because we would be happy to send it to you, or have a further breakdown, we would be happy to do that too. You can email us at info@thisopenhouseshow.com. Again, that's info@thisopenhouseshow.com, and we will send it to you. We'd be happy to do that. We're going to head into a break, but if you have any questions about what we talked about or you want to call in, the number is 790-2040. Catch you on the other side.
Are you interested in the real estate market? What does low inventory actually mean? Funny, real-life real estate stories and things you should never do if you're looking to buy or sell a home. Join me, David Guthrie, and my wife, Rebecca Guthrie. We are full-time real estate agents with the Hacienda Group at Long Realty Company for This Open House on Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. on 1030 The Voice, where we will discuss all this and more. That's This Open House on Saturdays at 11 on 1030 The Voice.
Did you know that Bisbee's Warren Ballpark may be the nation's oldest baseball field? Or the Hohokam Canals, built 800 years ago, helped found the city of Phoenix? Get to know our state's treasures at arizonaexperience.org, a free, interactive online guide to Arizona's people, places, and events. Learning comes alive through videos, oral histories, games, interactive maps, and timelines. Plan a vacation, dig into history, or meet our diverse community. Discover your Arizona at arizonaexperience.org.
Welcome back. This Open House Show. I'm your host, David Guthrie, with my beautiful wife, Rebecca Guthrie.
Hey, guys. Welcome back.
And if you want to reach us again, you know, we can be reached in multiple ways. 520-462-2611. That is our cell phone. And feel free to text, call, leave a voicemail, what have you. That's our direct line there. Or you can reach us at info@thisopenhouseshow.com. We are actively embracing all of you California refugees coming out here. There are plenty of them. And or... if you're here looking to make that shift, just need some friendly advice, we're here for you.
Or if you'd like the report that we're going to be talking about during this show, if you'd like to actually look at the charts and the numbers and read it yourself because you like doing that, we're happy to send that over as well. We have a caller on the line. So, Charles, welcome to This Open House Show.
Hey, Charles.
Hi. Hey, you know, I have to pose a question here about, you said if all you could rent was, if all you could buy was used cars for your rental company, there is a new company marketing that it's renting used cars.
Wow.
I just think that I'm not trying to upset your apple cart. I'm just trying to say maybe there's an opportunity in renting used cars that you and I haven't noticed yet. And it just opens a new area. And it also proves the efficacy of a free market in that, you know, if there's some blockage in the system, people find their own way around the blockage, and that's what creative realtors are for.
Absolutely, absolutely, and I really appreciate your call and your comment, Charles. What I'd like you to do is let's try to approach this maybe from a slightly different perspective. If all you could rent were those used cars, there are going to be some people who just reverse what you just said. To open that leasing up to the used car market, there's a market for that. There are people who are going to want that. That's going to be a good product. If that's all you had, though, all you had were the used cars to be able to get some new, there's a lot of people who want new, clean, good. And some of these, I didn't really get into this detail. There are big investment firms coming through the Sun Belt, and we're talking hundreds and hundreds of homes some of these people are trying to develop. And there is some proposed zoning changes going on in things like Oro Valley and these different areas to try to bring residential and commercial, a little higher density residential to fruition. So all good stuff, and absolutely free markets, 100% way to go.
So,
you know, I think the people who rent cars aren't so much looking for new as they are looking to get where they're going.
Right,
and I'm not so sure that it matters as long as the thing is in decent shape. That it's the same. Well, although there's some people I know, some friends in Tucson that are looking to move to Tennessee, and they specifically want to buy a new constructed home. So I realize what you're saying. You know, there's Absolutely. As Josie Wales said, there's iron in your words. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Charles. Thanks so much for calling in. So the other thing that we want to talk about, you know, we do these reports, but we really want to remind everybody that real estate is local. You know, you see reports that come across and they're talking about the entire United States, or they're focusing in, you know, New York and LA or San Francisco or big major megalopolises, which is one of my favorite words in the whole wide world. And so they're not looking at what's happening in the local market. And when people ask us the question, hey, how's the real estate market? Well, it depends on what you're asking. Are you asking about the entire market? Are you talking about luxury, which is anything other than anything over 800,000 in Tucson? Are you talking about the market between 200,000 and 500,000? Are you talking about the rental market? Are you talking about the commercial market? When you just ask a question, how's the market? It depends. It completely depends on what part of the market that you're talking about. So
they're all very different segments of the market. We have a habit as real estate brokers to just say, oh, the market's great. Oh, it's super fast. Everything is like coming at us. But really, truly, it's what part of the market are you talking about here? And, you know, we really wouldn't be doing a service if we weren't talking about notice of sales, foreclosures, that sort of stuff. You know, these distressed properties still make up a tiny, tiny fraction of our market. Now,
distressed sales have always made up a tiny fraction of the market some point.
Well, yeah, but back in the last cycle when things were going crazy, you know, when one in, you know, 30 homes had foreclosure notices on them, you know, we would get the notice of sale list printed out, and there would be hundreds of letters that we could send to, you know, distressed homeowners to try to help them.
Right, but what I'm saying is that distressed market sales are never going to actually go away, because there were distressed sales before the big crash, and there are now distressed sales now. So the fact that there are distressed sales is not an indication that there's something wrong. It's just part of what is in any market, because life happens and sometimes you can't pay your mortgage.
Right. But to put numbers into perspective here, you know, in December of 2020, we had a whopping total of 29. I get on these lists from different title companies and people sending us these lists. Whopping total, 29 notices of sale were sent out that give the seller, the owner, statutory right to go ahead and, you know, sell it, pay it off, work something out, deal with it. And when you look at the equity that most people are holding in their houses, I find it difficult to believe, unless there is some sort of an issue. I mean, we've unfortunately seen you know, certain cases where families are falling apart, and that's a true distress situation. And you have one spouse saying, I don't want the other to get anything at all. And so they just let things totally blow up.
Yep.
those are the rarest of the rare cases here going on here. So let's round this out and let's look forward. We've looked backwards. Let's look forward. Where are we going? What are we doing? Guys, when you're looking in that average price point, you know, 240 or below, especially if you're in the 200s or below, you are making up a very small portion of the sales that I think are going to be going on in 2021. And that leads me to say you need a different strategy, okay? You need a different strategy. Obviously, one of those strategies is looking online at things that are there. Name your favorite websites, whatever it may be. That information is not going to necessarily be the most up to date. We're having a real difficulty right now being able to take our listings. And you know, Rebecca and I actually have a marketing firm that we utilize to help push out our listings for our sellers. And by the time they get done formulating our pictures and getting ads out on Facebook, oftentimes we have three or four offers on the thing. And, you know, these things are out and they're out. And sometimes, you know, people on social media get a little cranky. They're like, why is this under contract? Why are you doing an ad that's under contract? It's like, we literally don't have the time to get that out. And here's the thing. We don't stop marketing our home until it closes. So our sellers love us because we do not stop marketing your home until it closes. All kinds of things can happen. Buyers might not qualify. The good Lord might take a buyer home mid-escrow and all of a sudden you have to put the property back on the market. What happens then? This
People
is why
might decide that they're going to get divorced and they don't actually want to buy the house. You know,
right.
Crazy things happen.
Which is not a contract contingency.
It is
by
not
the
a
way.
Contract contingency.
So for all of these reasons, we just don't know what's going to happen on any given transaction. We strongly encourage and recommend backup offers. And when I say backup offers, I don't mean a kind where you're like, hey, call me if anything happens. That's not a backup offer. I mean, actually in writing backup offers. If you are not doing backup offers in this market and you've been looking for a while, you're not finding the right house, all the houses you like are going, you're doing it wrong.
Yep.
End of story. You're doing it wrong if you're not putting in backup offers. Backup offers are a beautiful thing. And as a listing agent and a buyer's agent, this is a tool that we like to use in order to try to give our clients a leg up. And one of those ways as a listing agent is obviously if you have a good, solid backup, then that's going to keep the current transaction a little bit more secure, a little bit more in line. So the seller really loves it. In the event that that falls through, that backup offer just goes right into first place position without any fuss. No need to change the status. No need to open up your house and sanitize it a million times again. The sellers love it. But here's why buyers should love it too. You get to go ahead and make an offer. It's a backup offer. Seller gets to negotiate it just like any other one. And if you come to an agreement and you are in that second place waiting on cancellation of the existing contract, there's typically no earnest deposit.
Mm-hmm.
In our boilerplate contract, that's not in there. You can negotiate anything, but typically no earnest deposit. So it's a free deal. Then guess what? Buyers get to cancel. Buyer, you can go ahead.
They get to unilaterally cancel.
Unilaterally cancel.
You can have the backup offer on house A and you can see house B and you get house B and you cancel on house A and there's no issues.
Now, the right thing to do is let us know that you are making those offers,
right,
and you want to go ahead and cancel before because you can't realistically buy two houses. Technically, you do have that unilateral cancellation at any time before the seller issues notice that the existing contract is no longer in effect. And so, guys, this is a great way to be able to have a chance at something, be able to get in there. We see so many back on markets right now. If you are not doing backup contracts, you are doing it wrong.
And we have a personal example. You know, my parents were just able to buy their dream house through a backup offer. They found it earlier in the year. They put a backup offer in, the buyer's financing fell through and they were able to just step right on in and they now have their dream house,
right,
because they put a backup offer in.
Oftentimes, because sellers are obligated to disclose all material facts that they know, there could be some new information that's come in from the existing contract as well. So this buyer gets to come in and you have all these new disclosures and all these things and you're like, hey, am I cool with this? Well, yeah, I'm all right with this, or no, I'm not, and move on. The point is, if you're not doing backup offers, you are doing it wrong. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is why we do not stop selling our sellers' homes until it is closed. This is why we continue to market them on Facebook, other avenues of social media, you name it, because we just don't know. And so when you see that, you might click on it, say, hey, it's active contingent. No, we've got a lot of stuff in pre-marketing. We've got other things that we know are coming on the market. Talk to us. We're happy to help you.
And if you want to talk to us, or you have questions about what we talked about earlier in terms of the 2020 annual report for what happened in Southern MLS, you can email us at info@thisopenhouseshow.com. Again, that's info@thisopenhouseshow.com. Or you can call us and talk to either me or David at 520-462-2611. Call, text, email.
Speaking of seeing us, if you guys would like to, we are doing an open house today. Again, this is Saturday, January 9th, 2020. So if you catch this on a rerun, you will not see it. 1915 East Cayo Bogota. This is a single family home. Beautiful house. Split bedroom plan, perfect for your home office or mother-in-law suite or father-in-law suite or whatever. Totally separated. Gorgeous pool. Amazing Catalina mountain and views. East Tucson. 2,300 square feet, listed at $310,000.
And again, the address is 9015 Cali Bogota. And if you want to see us, we'll be there from 1 to 4. Catch you next week.